Hey, Calvary family, this is Pastor Michael Grove here on the Bible Reading app. And today is April the 28th here in the Bible Reading Plan. Going to read a couple of Psalms today, so follow along if you can. Otherwise, let me read it over you. And in the end, I'll give you a quick thought before we end our time together. Here we go, Psalm 38. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath. Your arrows have pierced me, and your hand has come down on me. Because of your wrath, there is no health in my body. There is no soundness in my bones because of my sin. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly. I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long I go about mourning. My back is filled with searing pain. There is no health in my body. I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. All my longings lie open before you, Lord. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pounds. My strength fails me. Even the light has gone from my eyes. My friends and companions avoid me because of my wounds. My neighbors stay far away. Those who want to kill me set their traps. Those who would harm me talk of my ruin. All day long they scheme and lie. I am like the deaf who cannot hear, like the mute who cannot speak. I have become like one who does not hear, whose mouth can offer no reply. Lord, I wait for you. You will answer, Lord my God. For I said, do not let them gloat or exalt themselves over me when my feet slip. For I am about to fall, and my pain is ever with me. I confess my iniquity. I am troubled by my sin. Many have become my enemies without cause. Those who hate me without reason are numerous. Those who repay my good with evil lodge accusations against me, though I seek only to do what is good. Lord, do not forsake me. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly to help me, my Lord and my Savior. Psalm 39. I said, I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle on my mouth while in the presence of the wicked. So I remained utterly silent, not even saying anything good. But my anguish increased. My heart grew hot within me. While I meditated, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. Surely everyone goes around like a mere phantom. In vain they rush about, heaping up wealth without knowing whose it will finally be. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Save me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of fools. I was silent. I would not open my mouth, for you are the one who has done this. Remove your scourge from me. I am overcome by the blow of your hand. When you rebuke and discipline anyone for their sin, you consume their wealth like a moth. Surely everyone is but a breath. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for help. Do not be deaf to my weeping. I dwell with you as a foreigner, a stranger, as all my ancestors were. Look away from me, that I may enjoy life again, before I depart and am no more. This concludes the reading for today. Let me give you a quick thought before we end our time together. So for one of my classes, I was reading a book called The Other Half of Church. It's actually a super good book. It's by Jim Wilder. And he talks about the fact that there's such a thing as good shame. I know, when we hear that word in today's culture, there is no such thing as good shame. But shame is something that God gave us that we naturally feel. When we do something that we know we should not have done, it should bring us a sense of shame. Now, unhealthy shame is where we live in that shame and we allow it to consume us. However, healthy shame is when we understand we've done something and we're grieved by it. It's where we become ashamed of what we have done. Weird, isn't it? Because we live in a culture that would tell you not to have shame for anything. Yet the truth is, I don't live the life I'm supposed to live. In fact, sometimes, on purpose, I don't do the things I know I'm supposed to do. Should I be allowed to just continue down that path? Or shouldn't something cause me to turn and do what is right? Especially if we serve a God who doesn't want us to keep going the wrong direction. Don't you think He would put something in us that causes us to turn and find what's right? That is shame. We should be ashamed for the things we do that are wrong. Now hear me closely. I didn't say we should live in shame, but we should understand the price of our sin. We should understand what it cost us when we do things that are not right. This is the process that we see David going through in Psalm 38 and 39. He says that he even tried to remain silent, thinking that if he could just remain quiet, everything would be okay. But what really happened? He felt the shame. And it was causing him, as he says, his heart grew hot within him. You see, God gives us all of our emotions, shame being one of those. He causes us to realize when we do something that we shouldn't, and He makes us want to turn that around. Now, unhealthy shame causes guilt. I'm not talking about guilt. I'm talking about the recognition that something's not right, and I want to make it better. That is shame. It's me saying, I wish I never did that, and I wish I could do it right. So David hunches over, walking around, asking God to change him. But listen how he started in chapter 38 tonight. He said, Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath. Your arrows have pierced me, and your hand has come down on me. Because of your wrath, there is no health in my body. But listen to this next part that he says. There is no soundness in my bones because of my sin. See, he's talking about this process. His sin, he knows, is the reason why he feels the way he does. Yet he's understanding. This sin also brought shame because he realizes what he has done to offend the Lord. And this breaks his heart. So he begs of the Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. He's saying, your arrows have pierced me and your hand has come down on me. In other words, I feel it deep down inside of me. I know this has grieved you. Because of your wrath, there is no health in my body. He feels the shame all around him. So here's the next question. How do you allow the Holy Spirit to cause you to turn from the things that you know are wrong? Are you sensitive enough that you would be able to even hear if the Holy Spirit was trying to get your attention about something you have done? David was a man after God's own heart, and this is why. He was sensitive enough to know when he did something that was off. And even more, sensitive enough that he would respond with an attitude that says, I want to change this because I don't want to grieve my father's heart. So he pleads one last plea, Lord, do not forsake me. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly to help me, my Lord and my Savior. You see, he knew, even though he felt the shame of doing what he shouldn't have done, he knew God would still forgive him and draw close. And so he confesses his sin, admits the shame that he's feeling, and cries out to the only one who could wash that away. And in doing so, he is inviting God into this moment where shame is turning him from the things he never should have been a part of. So be sure to be sensitive to the Spirit. I like to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to search me and know me, and then to help me understand my own heart so that I can be free from anything that would lead me to sin and shame. But I always know, and you should know this too today, no matter what, you have a loving Heavenly Father. And the only reason He brings these feelings of shame is so that we will turn away from the things that actually separate us from Him. It's a natural mechanism designed to keep us in relationship with God. Why? Because He desperately loves you and wants to be close to you today. So don't allow sin to push a barrier between you and your Heavenly Father, but then respond and ask Him to forgive you. And as He does, He will draw you close into His presence. That's all the time we have left for today. I love you, and God bless. We'll be right back.